Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left, as always, is my Lancastrian co-host, Joe Nutsy Nuttall. So, Joe, mate, how's your day been so far?
Good, thank you. Yeah, I was just sort of, I didn't actually watch the game. I was listening to it on the radio, the BBL this morning, which was good. Good to hear. Livy score. I mean, he didn't score a massive amount of runs. He scored 17, but he got runs the other day. He hit a massive six out of the ground as well. So yeah, good to see Liam Livingston getting runs, obviously. Being a massive Lancs fan, it's good to see him getting runs. And hopefully we can see some more Lancs players in the second test in goal as well. Who knows, maybe Parky or Mahmood will get a game. Maybe Jimmy as well. But yeah, nah, I'm all good.
Well, that's good to hear, mate. And of course, yeah, Livingston, he also bowled today, didn't he? I think he got a wicket as well, didn't he?
He does it all, doesn't he? Leg spin, off spin, he can do anything.
Yeah. For all the listeners out there, you can tell Joe's a Lancs fan who loves Liam Livingston, can't you? Wouldn't be able to tell. But no, Joe, I'm glad to hear that you're doing well, mate, of course. That's very, very good. And also joining us on the County Cricket Podcast for today's episode is Glamorgan stalwart David Lloyd. So, David, first things first, mate, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today. How's your day been so far?
Yeah, it's been good. I was up pretty early watching Australia and India. Mm-hmm. And I watched from about when they needed 100 to win. So that was a good start to the morning, just watching that. Decent cricket. And then, yeah, I had baby duties. And then I went to training about 10:30. So it was a busy, busy morning. But no, it's nice to keep busy in these tough times. So I'm not complaining.
Yeah, definitely. You need something to almost take your mind off it, don't you? Almost like otherwise, a daily routine.
Yeah, exactly. So no, it's nice to be back after Christmas training and yeah, hitting balls again. So it's the countdown's on now to the season. So I'm looking forward to that.
Of course, I think we all are, aren't we? County cricket.
How long now? How many?
Less than 3 months now.
Yeah, it's about 3 months, I think.
Yeah, not long at all.
That'll fly by, I suppose. So.
Yeah, but I bet it feels like longer now because we're in lockdown. So yeah, it's one of them.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I suppose the little one's keeping me busy, so the days are kind of going quite quickly. So
and you have training all the time as well. So yeah, really, it can't come soon enough.
No, it can't. No, it's nice. Yeah,
it is.
Yep, I think we're all just waiting for it, aren't we? A full county cricket season, fingers crossed, of course. This season compared to last year, which was incredibly disjointed and, just a massive shame, really. 2020 was meant to be almost a curtain raiser for cricket to become more mainstream, I suppose. But here's the 2021, here's the better times this year. But in terms of today's podcast then, just for the listeners at home, so we're going to start today's podcast by talking to David about his early cricketing journey. Then, of course, we're going to talk to him about his highlights and maybe some maybe tougher moments that he's had at Sapphire Gardens for Glamorgan. And then, of course, we are going to finish today's podcast with everybody's favourite segment, which is teammates. So, David, to kickstart today's podcast then, let's go right back to the beginning of your cricketing journey then. What's your first ever memory of cricket, either playing or watching the game?
Yeah, so my family were very much cricket and football orientated. So I was always brought up kind of on a Saturday and Sunday watching my dad and uncles play from an early age. So I suppose everything stemmed from there. And I always had a ball and bat in my hand or football. So it always felt natural to kind of be playing sport. And yeah, I used to love the weekends and watching my dad and just hanging around the nets all day with other mates of mine. And yeah, it all started from there, really, my love for the game. And it's without those memories, I don't know where I'd have been, really. So yes, it was a great kind of experience for me growing up, kind of watching cricket, and I really enjoyed it. And I miss those days again, really.
Well, fair enough. It's a fantastic way to get into the game, of course, and very family orientated. I'm guessing that your family have had a massive influence on your cricketing journey to date.
Obviously my dad, with me being based up North Wales, he drove me around the country, especially down to Cardiff for Wales age groups and then the academy and stuff like that. So I owe a lot to my parents for travelling around the country, obviously taking time off their own hands. So yeah, without their help and support, obviously I wouldn't be where I am today. And yeah, like I said, my dad was more football, really. He was a footballer and a referee. professionally. So yeah, it was always a mix between the two. Winter was always football, and the cricket was obviously more of a summer thing. So I was, it was quite nice to jump in and out of the sports and keep things pretty fresh.
Fair enough. Again, it is a nice journey to cricket, I suppose. And were you an all sports kind of player back then? Did you have plenty of different sports kind of draw skills upon?
They always kind of pushed me to play different sports like cricket, football, golf, tennis. But to be honest, as a younger lad, it was more football I was better at. But as time went on, yeah, I think cricket became more of an option, and yeah, went down that route. So it was good, especially playing team games, and then obviously golf being individual, kind of trying different things, which I think helps you growing up, and also just realizing different sports and how things can change. So yeah, that was a really good learning curve. So yeah, and I think without playing different sports, it would have been harder for me probably just to concentrate on one sport. So I'm lucky to have experienced different sports.
Yeah, definitely. And again, that's something that the likes of Kevin Peterson, Sean Pollock, they always mention. It's quite important actually for young cricketers, obviously, to kind of hone and develop skills and almost take skills from different sports. So obviously a very, very common way to get into the game for you there, David. But in terms of in those early days, who do you say were your inspirations in the cricketing world? Did you have any idols that you looked up to per se?
I must say I wasn't really a massive, I did watch cricket, but for me it was always football. But like I always loved watching Lara, Flintoff, and then Brendan McCullum is probably the way he batted was always kind of how I wanted to try and be. So watching him and people like Jack Callis, they were all kind of cricketers I loved to watch. But yeah, like I said, it was always, I kind of enjoyed watching football a lot more because, and even still now, I watch cricket, but I try and not get away from cricket, but I try and watch different sports and not, it's tricky, I not get too attached to cricket, but try and get away from the game, especially in the summer when there's games on TV, but I don't always want to be tied into cricket. It's nice to get away and just keep things, well, for me personally, fresh. So, yeah, I obviously, my dad used to take me to Old Trafford and it was the old layout. And I used to be, I think it was a Thunderbolt, which was the old kids membership. And we used to go for one day games, test matches and T20s. And I used to love that because it's only down the road really from Wrexham. So yeah, I was lucky that we used to go there. And like I said, I was a Lanx fan as a kid just because they were more local. I still followed Glamorgan, but it was always, obviously it's a 4-hour trip, so it was hard to get down there. So yeah, obviously that changed when I started going for the age groups for Wales and for the academy. I obviously changed to Glamorgan to being a fan, but yeah, it was some good times, especially at Old Trafford. I used to love the old ground and the atmosphere, and yeah, it was great.
Good choice, I must say. Very, very good choice to have a team to support as a kid. And yeah, you were actually correct on that as well. Thunderbolt, they do still have that.
Do they?
Yeah, as far as I know. I mean, I'm no longer count as a junior.
Yeah, so, I'm no longer a Thunderbolt anyway.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure, as far as I know, they still have that, or they did up until like 3-4 years ago. But yeah, so moving back onto sort of your cricketing idols, and you mentioned guys like Brendan McCullum and Callis as well. Would you say that they sort of shaped the way that you approached the game growing up and the way that you trained? Did you really, I mean, a lot of kids do try to do this, try to emulate their idols, but did you really try and almost make your game identical to them?
I tried to take like McCullum's positivity and aggression into my cricket. That was probably the main thing I've tried to kind of copy. Callis, yeah, I just love watching him. I wouldn't say I ever tried to emulate him in any way. I remember once when I was young, I loved Sarwan for a bit and watching him bat. And you remember you saw that really open backlift?
Yep.
And I remember one day I just went to like Wales training and just try it out of nowhere.
Did it work?
Like it? No, it was. I was it was shocking. And like they were like, "What are you doing?" So I didn't stick with that. But there was obviously times when you'd bat like in the garden with my mates, you'd be like Ricky Ponting or. But yeah, the main one was McCullum because I just loved the way he went about it. And I remember playing against him in a one-day game and he got 100 against us for Middlesex. And like, we batted second. And that was at the start of my career. And like, even just watching him made me bat better the second innings because I was like, I've seen how he goes about it. And not that I suppose he didn't have any fear. And I took that into my innings. And I think I got about 60 odd. And it's just amazing how your mindset can change when you do kind of be positive and aggressive, not reckless, but yeah, just some little picking up on little things and playing against these people is, yeah, sometimes you just can't believe like you are playing against them. And after watching them when you were younger, it's sometimes, yeah, it does baffle me sometimes. But
yeah, I guess that's one of the best things about county cricket though, is that. Because obviously in Australia, for example, there's no 4-day and 1-day overseas players. That's only in the Big Bash. So, you know, in county cricket, it's like, you know, you can theoretically sign any overseas player. And obviously previously Colpax as well. So just to have the opportunity to play with and against that, you know, those kind of guys must be pretty special. I mean, you've played against, played with the likes of Colin Ingram. Exactly. Yeah. As I completely overlooked one of my favorite players. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, as I say, that's one of the almost unique aspects of county cricket. It really is. But let's talk about your county career now, David. What are some of your first, or what's your first ever memory, really, of county cricket?
Making my debut at Headingley and getting a pair. And also, I had to get the AA out because on the way to the ground, I had a puncher. So that really topped off the week.
That was not ideal.
So from... I think it was like 200 quid call out, a pair. So that was a poor week. But I think looking back, I think it was obviously not an ideal way to start, but it toughened me up mentally. And these things happen in any type of sport. So it's just one of those you just got to take and obviously try and get out of the system. But I'm looking forward to we got them first game of the season. So I'm looking forward to getting back there and hopefully making amends of my debut 10 years ago, whatever it was, 9 years ago.
Yeah,
9 years ago, 2012. And yes, two ducks, both 8 balls as well. So,
and I remember I could have got off the mark easily, but the other batsman turned it down, which didn't, that was second innings as well.
Was a pair on the back of your mind, or was it, did you just put it on? I mean, it must have been surely on your mind, or did you just sort of forget about it and just kind of focus on that specific innings?
It was obviously on my mind. Looking back, I don't think I was quite ready to play first-class cricket because that had been a very strange year for me personally with cricket. And I don't know whether you want me to go into that. But
please go on if you want, David.
Yeah, well, it got to a point where my career wasn't really going anywhere, so I went to work on my uncle's farm back in North Wales. And I kind of thought, like, I'm not going to play again. This was before, obviously, my debut. So packed it in, worked on the farm, and they were short 1 week in a second team game at Gloucester, at the county ground at Bristol. And Darren Thomas, I remember Darren Thomas, who Glamorgan all around him, obviously went to Essex at the end. He was in charge of the minor counties for Wales, so he ran me up, kept on ringing me up saying, listen, just give it one last crack. And that week I played and I scored 180 not out. And then they signed me after that. And then the week after, I'd gone from working on the farm to playing at Headingley. So I think everything happened quite quick and I wasn't ready mentally to... Because Yorkshire then, they were obviously, they're still a good team now, but they were solid then. They were obviously, they were probably...
They were about to win the titles, weren't they? The back-to-back titles that they won and stuff, yeah.
So it was obviously a tricky place to make my debut. But it's something I'll always remember, even if it didn't go well. But at least It was great to make my debut at Headingley, and it's obviously I haven't played there since actually, so it'll be nice to get back. But it was a tough time, but obviously the opportunity came around, and I wouldn't change it for anything. So.
Tell you what though, that is extraordinary, really. So your cricket journey almost ended before it ever really began in the county game.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, and to be honest, without Darren Thomas probably getting on my back saying, "Go on, just give it one last go," I probably wouldn't have. Yeah, I may have not even have played or had 9 years in the game. So I owe a lot to him, and also to myself in a way, I think, for giving it a go, I suppose. So
yeah, it's a crazy way, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And yeah, of course, I was going to ask about Darren, actually, in terms of how influential he's been. I know you've just touched upon there, but what exactly was it that he did that almost motivated and kick-started your cricket career again?
He was great in the minor county stuff, because obviously back then our second team was full of staff players, so there would only ever be like one academy lad playing or youngster. So we were always, the academy kind of turned into the Wales Minor Counties, and he took over, he was in charge. He was still playing, but I think he could see there was something in me which could progress. But I was always a bit like, I never quite believed in my ability, whereas football, I was fine. I didn't worry about things. But cricket, I suppose I never kind of realised how good I could have been. So to be fair, he was very good and kind of motivating me and getting me to believe myself and giving me the opportunity to, because even then, I suppose I haven't really played for a while, but minor counties was a really good standard. So that toughened me up as well, and obviously playing 3-day cricket. So yeah, he helped a great deal, and he's doing some fielding stuff now with us. And he did a lot, especially in my early days. So yeah, he's been good.
Would you, just actually touching upon that minor counties sort of, you said the standard's very good. Would you be in favour of incorporating minor counties into first-class cricket in a sense? Let's say in some kind of, I don't know, 50-over FA Cup, something like that. You know, kind of replicating, obviously, the football FA Cup. Is that something you think could work?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose you could keep the 50-over for the counties, but then...
Like an additional thing, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I definitely reckon there could be like a knockout thing, yeah, where all the minor counties are in it. And I suppose it would bring quite a lot of support to it as well, because you're getting people who may not follow counties, they just follow their minor counties. And it'd be great, especially, and I suppose you'd find players, it gives them an opportunity to show what they can do to counties. And I'm pretty sure there'd be quite a few upsets as well.
Yeah.
But no, that would be quite a good idea, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And it gives the chance for the counties to play maybe a few youngsters and try and give them a taste of the pressures of actually playing for your county. So, no, I think that would be a very good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something I'd be interested in seeing. Who knows, maybe we'll discuss that further on a separate podcast, on a weekly podcast. Will be quite interesting to discuss. But yeah,
we could indeed. It would be very interesting, because obviously the magic of the FA Cup, I mean, all three of us are football fans as well. I mean, I'm a much bigger cricket fan, I'd argue, than a football fan. But yeah, it would be quite nice. And of course, David, yeah, there would be some upsets. And you just know Mike out of Warwickshire, we'd probably be the first one to to have an upset against us. But in terms of your Glamorgan career then, David, let's just have a look almost retrospectively, because we've spoken there about you've had 9 very, very good years. Of course, you've gone on to become a vice captain. You're going to be the captain of the limited overs team, the Royal London One Day Cup team in 2021. If you could pick out maybe one or two moments from your time at Glamorgan so far, what would you choose as a highlight?
I think obviously scoring 100 on for my debut 100 against Kent, that's something I'll never forget. Just the kind of relief to do that and giving yourself the belief that you can do it in professional cricket. So that was a big moment for me. And then there's a couple more. Again, I scored 97 not out in the T20, which got turned out. It changed to 16 overs because of weather. And again, that gave myself belief by playing some shots that I'd never really thought I could play. And that really helped my confidence. And then probably the latest one was being capped by Matthew Maynard, who he was a big, obviously he's a fellow North Whaley, and watching him as a kid kind of gave me the inspiration as well to grow up and play for Glamorgan the older I got. And he's been great ever since he's come in. He's been fantastic and given me a lot more responsibility, which I think has helped me as well. And yeah, to be fair, like you say, 9 years, it still feels like it feels a long time, but it's gone so quickly.
Mm.
The seasons just seem to roll into one. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to the season coming up and just seeing what I think as a club, we want to challenge a lot more in all the competitions. We've had a couple of tricky years, but I think we're showing signs, and obviously each year players are getting older and a bit more confident and they know their own game. And with the additions of Marnus and obviously Michael Messer and Colin, hopefully we can push on a bit now and start really competing in all formats. And there's no reason why we can't. It's just as a group believing in ourselves going forward.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something almost like an exciting little project, if you like, brewing at Glamorgan. Definitely something happening. Yeah. I feel like the thing, or the way I perceive Glamorgan, is obviously as almost an outsider looking in. In a supporter's way, is almost like Glamorgan are standing up for the whole of Wales in a way, because obviously it's the only Welsh county, and you know, you grew up in North Wales and you supported Lancs, but no, obviously, as I say, the only Welsh county, and I feel like Wales definitely needs representing, potentially needs representing more, and I feel like Glamorgan are doing a great job so far. And as you say, you've got some great overseas players returning or coming in. One of them, I mean, we mentioned him a couple of times. I feel like we kind of have to chat a little bit about him. And that is, of course, Marnus Labuschagne. What is he actually like? Because I think a lot of people think he's, you know, he comes across as a bit odd, you know, certainly when he's playing for Australia. What is he like? Is he actually like that? I mean, he also comes across as a nice bloke, but, you know, certainly when he's playing cricket, he comes across as a bit strange with some of his mannerisms. So what is he like to have around the dressing room?
He's a lovely lad. Like he means no harm to anyone. He's just like, he'll speak to anyone. He just loves the game of cricket. Like he brought, I suppose, a lot of energy to the changing room, which is what we needed. And I think that's what, because we went, when we had him the first year, we were top for a bit. And I think we went 6 games unbeaten. We won 3 or whatever. And we were flying. And I think his whole aura just brought the whole team together and just gave us something more on the pitch, because he's so energetic, and on rain breaks and stuff like that, he'd tape up a tennis ball, we'd all be playing in the change room like just crazy, and we'd never do that.
So he is as big of a badger as he comes across as then.
Yeah, huge. Yeah.
yeah.
He just loves the game, and like hats off to him. He's done incredible, and I think a part of that is him coming to the club, and I think he did a lot of work with Matt, and I think he really enjoyed his time with us, which has helped him obviously going forward. I mean, he became so consistent that he just carried on taking it to the next level, and it shows him re-signing that how much he loved it, his time with us. And because he could have gone anywhere, he could have gone, I suppose, somewhere like Surrey or Lancs.
But I was hoping
to commit to us.
I'll be honest, I was very much hoping.
Yeah, he's just a great lad, and
yeah,
he's someone who will still text you now, even though he's number whatever in the world. He I don't think he's one of those who will ever lose his kind of his character, or he'll always be Marnus. Who, yeah, he's just a great lad, and hopefully we'll see him at some point. Same with Nessa. It'll be nice to have them both. And like I said, he adds so much to us as a group that we missed him when he left. Like he left at, did he leave like 2 games to go? If we'd have won one of them, I reckon we could have gone up. So we did miss him.
Yeah.
once he left, the whole, not that we relied on him so much, but just the whole,
the most pivotal, like a pivotal part of your game, of your team had gone, like the team's unbalanced. Yeah. I'm actually, you mentioned that his test batting rankings, he's currently sitting fourth. He's 4 points behind Virat in third. So
that's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. For a guy who's played, what, 25 tests at the very most, probably there or thereabouts.
What's he averaging? You know. He must be averaging.
He's 50? Averaging. Yeah, he's well over 50, I reckon. I reckon he's pushing 60.
He's a monster, isn't he? He's just an
absolute monster. Yeah, he's outrageous.
And when he came to Glam as well in that County Championship Division 2 season, he scored 1,000 runs. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, he's averaging 60 in test cricket.
He scored it unbelievably quick as well, didn't he?
He's just unreal.
No one really heard of him before we kind of signed him. We didn't really know what he was about or how he played, but how he's gone from that to where he is now is just incredible.
Yeah, it is outrageous. And to me, certainly feels like Glamorgan really was the catalyst for that. You know, he obviously scored all the runs at Glamorgan on English wickets, let's bear in mind. Then got his chance in the Ashes, which was, you know, unfortunate, but also fortunate. You know, there's a silver lining to that in a way, because Australia discovered Marnus. And then look at him now, you know, exactly.
You think if he hadn't have batted that game at Lords, he may not have been.
Yeah. And look at him now, he's just scored almost 500 runs in a series against India in a very, very good series. So, he's a class player, probably one of my favourite players in the world. Especially, quite bad that two Aussies are my favourite players in the world. But him and Glenn Maxwell, but oh well, is what it is, isn't it? Is what it is.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just preoccupied by that then. You mentioning both Maxwell and Labuschagne as your favourites. David, in terms of...
Two of my favourites.
Yeah, two of your favourites. Who would you say your favourites right now? Is Marnus up there as one of yours, or who would you say you're maybe top two or three in the world right now?
I suppose Marnus has got to be up there. You probably wouldn't like this, but I like the way Warner bats.
Yeah, he's class. Absolutely class.
Yeah, so I say Marnus, Warner, and then, I think watching Joe Root the other day, he looked like he's back to his best.
Yeah, he really does.
Billy will have a go at me if I don't see him. So.
The Root, you know, I find it quite almost ironic that when it was Stumps on day one, he was on 66, Joe Root. I found that quite humorous. Root 66 and all that. So yeah, that was
Billy changed his number as well. I mean, it's 7, I think.
Has he changed it now?
He was 7 last year. Yeah, he changed it.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Don't think he wanted to be in his brother's footsteps.
Seven's the best number, to be honest. So yeah, I rate that.
What, Beckham? 7.
Beckham, Ronaldo. I mean, I'm not going to get into United because I'll talk all day, but. Beckham, Ronaldo, Cantona. Yeah, 7's the best number.
All wonderful county cricketers, weren't they? Every single one of them.
They were, yeah, actually. Funnily enough, actually, Ronaldo grew up supporting Lancs, which is why he signed for United.
100% believable, Joe. 100% believable that. Massive fan when he was growing up in Madeira. He was watching Wazzy McGram and Mike Atherton. Brilliant. But David, going back onto your cricketing journey then, what do you say right now, almost on the flip side of what we were just talking about, would you say was your toughest moment? Of course, you had that period before you made your debut. But in terms of as a professional cricketer, is there a particular moment which, I don't know, almost proved to be a massive adversity that you faced?
There was a year, I don't know, it must have been 2015, 16. I had a tough year in general. I just couldn't score a run, tried everything, probably trying too hard. And mentally, I was pretty much nowhere. I got to the point where, again, I wanted to be dropped, but I kept on playing and being picked, and I just wasn't in the right kind of mindset. You know, when you go too long and it's mentally, you weigh yourself down and things just got, you start overthinking. So that was a tough time. But I think these things, they happen, and if anything, they can only make you stronger mentally and better as a person. I think it makes you realise that it's your job, but it's just the game. So try not to get too emotionally attached I think that's what I've learned now, is that you obviously have good days and you have bad days, and it's making sure you enjoy those good days and not dwelling too much on those bad ones. Because as a cricketer, most of the time you're not going to do as well as you want. So it's kind of riding the roller coaster and the emotions, and just switching off until your next knock. And like this, it's going to be a test for me. I'm opening the batting this year in 4-day stuff, so that's going to be. I've obviously batted 3, but I've opened in all the white ball stuff and do. So I'm looking forward to doing that, and that could be a challenge at times, but it's something I'm really looking forward to doing. So yeah, I think that'll help with the emotions I've had. It's obviously the ups and downs of doing that. So hopefully that'll stand me in good stead.
Yeah. And can we just touch upon almost the ways in which you deal with the psychological pressures of the game? Because this is something that we have touched upon in a number of podcasts now. Because as you rightfully said there, the game of cricket's a funny one, isn't it? It's a roller coaster. You think you're riding high, you're at your peak, and then bang, a couple of ducks, a bit of bad form, and you feel like complete rock bottom. So how do you almost deal with that continuous up-down almost nature of cricket? Do you have any kind of coping strategies, per se, that you utilise?
I think a couple of years ago, I'd bottle it all up and I'd just keep it in my mind and in my system. I'd never let it go. So I think what I've learned is now is obviously reflecting on what I could have done better and what I did, say, wrongly. But it's kind of just making sure how I look at it now is, by the time I leave the ground and get home, I'm just back to my normal self. I don't want to be dragging all the luggage back to my wife and obviously now Freddie. And I think that will help in a way, because it makes you realise that there's a lot more to it, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's kind of, we've done a bit of stuff this last week with our new psychologist, and just looking at how we reflect and kind of putting that, parking it, and move on to your next innings or the next time you bowl. And whether it's writing it down or I find just talking to Cookie or even other players and the coach, that helps as well. So you're not bottling it up and overthinking the same thing. So I think just speaking, writing it down, and then just parking it is the way I try and go about it. Obviously, there's times where if you're on a real bad run, I suppose it's hard. You start thinking even more. But I think the older I've got, the more I've kind of adapted to failure. And I'm just trying to enjoy playing. Because there's times, obviously, like I said, when you're in such a bad run, you just forget to enjoy the game. So it's always about now, for me, enjoy it. Try and be happy and just positive. And hopefully, as long as you work hard, train hard, and do all the right preparation, you're giving yourself the best opportunity to do better than, or to do as best as you can.
100%. And I'm so glad that you've actually spoken quite openly there, because it is really important. And of course, mental health, rightfully so, is being spoken about a lot more nowadays. It's so important not to bottle things up. I know that from experience. Okay, I'm not someone who does have mental health struggles, fortunately. But in 2019, other than the Cricket World Cup, I mean, that was a pretty rough year for myself. And that's something that I learnt, spoke about it, got it all out there. And I felt a lot better afterwards. Yeah. And since then, everything has improved dramatically since then. So that's not just an important cricketing lesson. It is, of course, just for life in general. It's so important. And I suppose something that's related to that, Sussex, there's something that they've done. They've got the Mental Wellbeing Hub. I think that's what it's called. They've just recently put that up on Twitter. So for any fans who want to utilise that, of course, please feel free to go and do so. That is a free resource being offered by the team down at Hove.
Yeah, I saw that actually. Sorry, can I just quickly say a thing on that actually? Sarah Taylor is a big advocate of that. And of course I guess she's the ambassador of it really. And of course she has been quite open about her mental health struggles. So yeah, definitely. I just basically to reiterate what you say there.
Oh no, 100%.
I mean, it's available to anyone, isn't it, really? So
yeah, you don't have to be a Sussex fan per se.
Oh no, of course not. Yeah, of course not.
And it is a free resource and definitely a useful one. And I'm also glad there, David, I'd like to almost elaborate on this as well. The fact that you mentioned there about failure, because we've spoken about this before as well. And it's almost the acceptance of failure. Failure is going to happen, because when you look at the great cricketers, the likes of Kevin Peterson, for example, who at some point was called Dumb Slog Millionaire because of the shots that he was playing, Rahul Dravid, who got bowled countless times, and yet he's still remembered as the wall. So I was just going to ask you about that. How did you almost come to accept the reality of failure of cricket? How did you almost come to terms with that life lesson?
I just look at it as it's part of the game. Obviously, you want to do well, but so does the opposition. And he's there to get you out, and that will happen. And you can't control the uncontrollables. And I try and just keep it as simple as I can. There'll be days when you get good balls and you've got to accept that. It's not, majority of the time, it's nothing to do with your technique. It's just you got to take your hat off and say, well bowled. And I think sometimes we get caught up, especially I did early days, is that every time I got out, it was something to do with technique or I should tinker with this. Whereas the older I've got, I know technique is important, but I've learned, for me, it's more the mindset of how I approach things. And if I can, obviously when I do well, I don't want to, I stay pretty grounded. I don't get above my station. I just, because the amount of times you do badly outweighs probably the good day. So it's, and what I've been working on is making sure you easily forget about the good days and you always remember the bad days. So I don't know why we do that and why I personally do it or did it. So for me, it's kind of taking the positives out of the good days and then the bad days reflecting, right, it was a wide half volley, I've nicked it. Could I have left it, or was this bad execution? Come up with the answer and think, right, that's done, park it, go on to the next innings. Because the more, if you don't accept failure, I think you're more likely, not to fail, but you're going to get in trouble down the line, I imagine, because you just get a bit too, I don't know, I don't really know how to where I'm going, really, but you get a bit too overconfident, I think. Especially younger lads now, they're so confident. Back when I started, I wish I was as confident as them, but it's keep making sure that you're not too overconfident. And I think it's just, like I said, it's accepting failure, dealing with the bad days, and making sure you remember what you do on the good days.
Yeah, definitely. And again, a very, very good piece of advice. And that just reminds me of something from the test, which of course, very, very popular on Amazon Prime. It's an excellent documentary series. It really is.
Yeah.
But I think it was after Headingley, or at least it was after one of Australia's defeats. And it was Justin Langer. And he was in the dressing room talking to them, saying about, I mean, they were probably down in the dumps. It might have actually been after the India series where they lost that 2-1 and it got rained off at the SCG. And he said, one day we're going to look back on this and we're going to be thankful that it happened, because the lessons that we've learned, we're going to take on with us, and they're going to make us better players, better characters, better people. And that really, I mean, I'm remembering it now. I watched that a few months ago, and that's really resonated with me. And I just thought that's a very, very important thing, not just for young cricketers, but for cricketers in general to realise. The fact is, when you're properly at rock bottom, you're going to be thankful for those days, because once you get through that adversity, once you push through those barriers, you become an even better player. So without those adversities, without those challenges, I mean, the game would be plain sailing, wouldn't it? It'd be very easy. Everyone would get centuries. Everybody would get fivers. Yeah. Everyone would have 1,000 wickets. But it's those almost building blocks of character development which really, I don't know, almost generate the characters of today. And I know that's very, very deep. I know that's very, very philosophical per se. But honestly, if you can take that on board, I think that is a fantastic piece of advice for any young cricketers out there.
Definitely. And like I said, I'm not glad, but I'd have loved to have scored 200s on my debut, but to get a pair, I think it's kind of made me appreciate it more. My doing well, and the tougher the start was, it was only going to be uphill from there. So I see it as something which was meant to happen, and I've learned from it straight away, and I can always reflect on being in that situation and going forward, reflecting on how I'm going to go about it as well. So.
Of course, yeah. And since those two ducks, I mean, 2,939 first class runs, I mean, it's pretty impressive. Good average as well, nearly 30.
Yeah, so. I'd obviously like to up it a bit, but again, I've always had I've been up and down the order, so I'm hoping, given that I've got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, even 10, and it'd be nice now to, at my age now, to cement, if I can, I'm really looking forward to opening the batting, and I want to kind of make this my position now, and until I finish playing, I really want to just stick, hopefully everything works out, and I can stick with a position for the next however years.
Yeah, of course, David. And yeah, we wish you the very best of luck with that. Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed for you. We wish you the best. Definitely. But as an opener, I suppose this is going to be a bit of a difficult question. Who are you least looking forward to facing? Because there are some fantastic bowlers. Glamorgan have got a very, very good group, of course. Some excellent bowlers in, was it group three or group two that Glamorgan were in?
We're in the same group. So we are in group three, I think.
Probably the toughest group.
Yeah. Just for those who don't know the group, it's Glamorgan, Kent, Joe's County of Lancashire, North Ants, Sussex and Yorkshire. So you've got some fantastic bowlers in there. Of course, Joe, I know that you'll mention Mahmood, Parkinson, etc. Yeah, but who Gleeson in that group?
Wood.
Yeah, and Gleeson as well, Jimmy. Yeah. Just rattle them off. Yeah. Tom Bailey, why not? Glenn Maxwell, if he comes back, Faulkner. Yeah, but of course, David, who in that group are you maybe, I don't know, not intimidated, but least looking forward to facing?
I'd say I think he's one of the best bowlers in county cricket from what he's done in such a short time. But Ben Sanderson, I think he's a really good bowler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to be fair to him, he always gets me out. So it was nice. I played him in the T20 this year and I actually did well against him. So it was nice to kind of get my own back on him. But yeah, he's a fantastic bowler. I'm looking forward to, obviously, a good challenge, but I've never faced Anderson and I'd like to experience that.
Yeah. Did you see that video of him bowling in the nets last year at Old Trafford? You probably did, from like behind the stumps. Oh, yeah. And he's swinging it both ways. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be nice. Challenge. And then obviously you got the likes of Milnes at Kent and Podmore who've done really well, and Stevens are still going. So looking at it, it's going to be tricky.
Ollie Robinson, another one.
Yeah. But yeah, it's gonna be a good challenge and something I'm looking forward to, because you look back in say 10 years, 20 years, and you can say that you've played against these really good players, and it's a challenge I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, and it's gonna be a great group.
Oh yeah.
And one thing I do actually have to ask, David, do you know where Lancashire will be taking Glamorgan on? Will it be at Colwyn Bay again? Because for me, I would love that, because it's probably my favourite outground. Also, it helps that it's like right on the beach, which is class. But do you know where it's going to be?
I don't know where it's going to be, but for the sake of my friends and supporters back home, it'd be nice for it to be up north, to give them something after this terrible year. It'd be nice, hopefully, if crowds can go. It would be nice to have it at Colwyn Bay, because it'd give North Wales something to look forward to, and obviously Lancs always get a good following there. It would be nice, but I'm not sure whether COVID will allow it to be there with all the regs and all that. So
because I don't remember the last time we played at Sophia Gardens. No, like I can't think. I don't know. It was a while ago.
Since I've been there.
Yeah.
It's 9 years.
Yeah.
At least, It's because, as David said, you know, Colwyn Bay is
convenient.
It's convenient. It works for both.
It's basically a home game for Lancs, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Like I say, it's like an hour and a half away from me. So, like,
you won't be
being on the beach, as well, it must bring in so much money for, like, you know, well, certainly when we went in 2019, there was, there was a lot of different hotels and stuff who must have just brought in so much money. So yeah,
oh, it's a lovely place, and it's a great place to play cricket and even watch cricket. I remember I went there when I was a kid to watch Glamorgan play like Worcester, Leicester. So yeah, it's been that bank behind the bowler's arm has always been a good place to watch cricket.
Yeah, and the Lancastrian South Africans like it there as well.
Oh yeah, don't tell me about that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is a great place to play. It's gonna be a good year. It really is. And actually, I guess we should probably address that then. We've kind of spoken around it a little bit, and that is the new group structure. We've heard what's happening next season. We know the layout of it. Are you in favour of it, or do you prefer the more traditional, you know, two divisions?
I think it's quite nice in a way, just to play teams that you may not have played for a while. And I can only see it being a bit of a positive, really, because, like, especially for us, we're going to be competing against, was it six in the group? Five of the best counties in the country.
Yeah.
So for us as a team and as individuals, it's a real good challenge for us.
Yeah.
And I think it gives teams who are in Division Two a chance to show how good they actually can be.
Yeah.
And playing at venues that we haven't played, like going back to Old Trafford and Headingley, for our lads, it'll be exciting to play these big test venues again.
Yeah.
I'm all in favour for it. I don't know whether it's something that will stick or I don't know, but I suppose over the past you've always played against the same teams and you get to know the players. So it'll be nice to play against different teams and different places.
Yeah. And personally now, I mean, we, myself and Aaron, supporting sides in Division 1 or what would be normally in Division 1, we've kind of looked at it from a more selfish point of view as it's not Division 1. We're not directly competing for the championship. But, you know, having spoke to some certain players such as yourself who play in Division 2, anyone can now win the championship, right? Glamorgan can top our group and then go on and win the county championship outright, which is crazy because then the season after you won't be competing for it if it switches back. No. So yeah, it's crazy. That'll probably be the first time that's ever happened in history.
Yeah.
I would like to think. So
fingers crossed, isn't
it? Yeah. It'll be interesting. It really will. And yeah, it's gonna be good to see.
Well, yeah, definitely something, well, I suppose new and exciting to spruce different. Up 2021, won't it?
Yeah.
Especially after the year that we've all had. I mean, it's only January, but
I know, yeah.
Doesn't feel like it. Feels like we're about midway
through.
Hopefully
getting better, isn't it? Yeah.
We have to remain optimistic, though.
Exactly. Yeah.
But talking of 2021 then, David, what about in terms of your personal game? What are you looking, almost in terms of personal goals, have you set for this upcoming season?
I'm not really a massive goal setter because I think I can get, me personally, I get too kind of carried away with it. So for me, it's just obviously being as consistent as I can and just try and convert my 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever, into hundreds and big hundreds. That's my one downfall. So for me, that is probably the main thing on my list. I'm excited to see, to captain the one day team. So yeah, that'll be another experience for me. I've only done the 4 day stuff while Cookie was injured with an ankle injury. So that'll be nice to kind of have a good crack at that. And yeah, obviously just keep on performing in the T20, well, for all formats really, and just trying to keep on improving and just try and become someone like the lads can speak to and just try and help the younger lads out really.
Yeah, that's massively important for experienced players, isn't it? You're almost that figurehead in the team. And you mentioned there about the captaincy. I do just have to ask about this. In terms of your approach to captaincy, are you a fiery character like a Virat Kohli or an ice cold character like a Kane Williamson or somewhere in between?
Or are you just a Tim Payne?
I think I can be a bit of both, really. I'm quite chilled out, but if I do get red mist, and then I've tried over time to control that. So yeah, I try and look at it as how I'd want to be spoken to and how I'd want to treat people. So I try and be quite calm and give people a voice and an opinion because I played in teams where you feel afraid to speak out and I don't want people to be like that. It's giving people opportunity. So yeah, I'm probably quite chilled, I think. I'd hope to be anyway.
You won't be saying to anyone, see you at Sapphire Gardens.
No, because I know that bite, it comes back and bites you in the ass, isn't it? Yeah.
And that has been proven this week.
Brilliant, Joe. I knew that was going to creep its way in here at some point. As soon as I mentioned captaincy, I knew it. I knew that. So, David, kind of the final question of our main segment before we go on to teammates. is almost just about your future in county cricket. Do you almost have any, I don't know, future aspirations? I know you said you weren't a massive goal setter, but almost like personal milestones, maybe team achievements as well. Do you have anything in mind for the next 4 or 5 years, for example?
Well, I signed a contract recently till 2023. So I'd hope, yeah, I want to obviously do well for the club. I'd like to win a trophy in my time as a Glamorgan player. That's my aspiration, to win a medal or a trophy with the club. And I think it's doable. I think we've lent more towards achieving that in T20. So it'd be nice to compete more. We were close year before last to going up in the four-day stuff. And that gave the group a real taste of competing for, I suppose, promotion. I'd love to just win a trophy with the club. And yeah, I think with the 50-over comp this year, we haven't lost many players to the 100, only Cookie and Colin, because obviously DeLang's gone to Somerset. So we'll have quite a strong team, I think. I know a few clubs have lost quite a few players. So that could be a competition we really target as for a trophy. But yeah, to win a trophy and just to play as long as I can and keep on contributing to the club, really. That's my goal, and yeah.
Of course, and two very, very sensible goals, I suppose. With Glamorgan, when was the last trophy? 2004, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it probably was, yeah.
Early 2000s.
Finals day, was it? Yeah.
Finals day was 2017, because obviously my county was successful on that day. Yep. Well, I would say apologies about that, but then we went on to lose the final anyway. So, yeah. Shame about how that day ended on finals day in 2017. But yeah, of course, David, we here at the County Cricket Podcast wish you the very best of luck, not only for this season, of course, but beyond that as well. And congratulations for your contract extension as well. We covered that on one of our weekly podcasts. So yes, we'll be seeing a lot more of you in the county circuit.
Thank you for having me anyway. It's been great to do this.
Well, no worries. So just before we go on to our teammate segment then, David, we did just have almost a fan question. I say she's a fan. She's someone that I know, massive Glamorgan fan. She's called Lucy. And she has a very South Wales orientated question for you. And that is, what's your favourite ground in the South Wales Cricket Association / South Wales Premier League? And at which ground in the SWCA would you like to play at in the future?
Favourite ground is probably a tricky one, actually. I like St. Fagans as a ground. And what was the other question? Which team would I like to play for in South Wales?
Or which ground would you most like to play at in the future?
I live in Barry, so I'd like to play at Barry Cricket Club because it's right by the sea. And it's a very small ground, so I think I'd hopefully score quite a lot of runs there.
And you could hit a six into the sea.
Yeah, so that would be... I'd like to say that, yeah. And I could walk there, so...
That's a typical batsman's answer. Fair enough. Yeah, Barry, obviously, the setting for Gavin and Stacey. Yeah, it was good. I did quite enjoy Gavin and Stacey. Not quite as much as county cricket, of course. But yes, that does bring us to an end to today's main segment then. So David, just before we end today's podcast, we do, of course, have our teammates section. So just for the listeners at home then, the way teammates works is basically just a selection of questions that we're going to ask David about his teammates that he shares a dressing room with at Sophia Gardens. So, David, are you ready for TCCP teammates?
Yep.
Perfect. So, the first question of today's teammate section is, who is the teacher's pet at Glamorgan?
Teacher's pet would be Tom Cullen, wicketkeeper batter.
What about Marnus? Just...
Oh, yeah, I'm going to change it. Definitely Marnus. Yeah.
Marnus would be always...
Marnus would live with the coaches.
Yeah, he just loves the coaches, yeah. Yeah. He'd rather be with the coaches than us, yeah.
Oh, what a guy. The next one, who has the best nickname?
I don't know if I can say them, really.
It's always a good sign.
Toughest.
What about Marnus?
I called him Lager Shandy.
That's a very British thing to call him, isn't it?
Lager Shandy, yeah. Lager Shandy. Lucas Carey, we call it Lloyd Christmas. because he looks a bit like, oh, it was one time anyway. But yeah, I don't know. Lagashambi, but it's probably Marnus again, yeah.
Common theme popping up here.
Sorry about that, yeah. Could be all Marnus.
That's fine.
Yep. So our next question then, I don't think this will be Marnus, to be honest, but who's the team DJ at Glamorgan and what's the choice of tunes?
Tom Cullen. And the choice of tunes is, it's not good. It's like, it ranges from Tiesto to, well, tunes I don't even know. It's very like dancey and aggressive music. So yeah, Tom Cullen. It gets you going, I think.
Yeah, Tiesto. I quite like Tiesto personally. Don't think he's too bad. Good DJ.
No, it's not bad. No, it's aggressive, especially on like this morning for the gym. It was just like 9:30 in the morning. You don't want that blowing around, do you?
Hasn't been nice and calm.
Yeah.
The next one. Who is the karaoke king?
I say Lucas Carey.
Yeah, fair enough.
He thinks he's got a good voice. And he's not afraid to show it. He's actually all right. He's not too bad.
Moving on to our next question then. Who's the biggest prankster in the Glamorgan dressing room?
Kieran Carlson. He causes us the chaos and blames other people. So then it go like, he cut our coach's socks. So when he wanted to put them on, he pulled them up and obviously went straight up his leg. And then the rumours were it was someone else. So the coach would then do something to the person who thought, who did it, and then it just went round. It got messy then because people were just doing everything to anyone.
It's a free-for-all, is it?
So he's definitely up there. You got to be careful around him.
Oh, fair enough. The next one. This applies for wickets, hundreds, fifties, whatever. Who has the best celebration?
Graham Wagg was always, when he got a wicket, he could do anything celebrating-wise. He played with his heart on his sleeve and he could be quite aggressive to a few send-offs. But yeah, I'd go Waggy. You just never knew what you were going to get.
Fair enough. I guess that's makes him more exciting, doesn't it, when he gets a wicket?
Yeah.
That was more exciting than the wicket.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a live wire, isn't he, Graham Wagg? He used to play for us like years ago. He was in the first ever 2003 T20 Cup final that we lost to Surrey. But Graham Wagg.
For a while, isn't it?
Yeah, he has. Good choice, though, David, I must admit. I'd agree with that. So moving on to our next one, then. Who do you say is the social media addict? Who's always on their phone at Glamorgan?
That's easy. Andrew Salter. He is the king of Instagram posts to the extent where boys just mock him. And obviously, he's got his own business biker club, Baffle House. So he's very professional in what he does on social media. He's all about the followers.
Well, fair enough. He's got a business.
Yeah, he's got to get the right angle for every photo. He can't just take one willy-nilly.
The next one, little bit of a two-part to this one. The best dressed and the worst dressed.
The worst dressed is Nick Selman. Typical Aussie attire. Best dressed, not including myself. To be fair, we got quite a poor squad in dress sense. I'm going to have to say me.
Fair enough.
Probably, the most normally dressed. Cookie's not there. Yeah, me.
Fair enough.
Yeah, looking at the attire, it's probably better than ours at the moment. Looking a lot sharper than myself here in a bear shirt. And Joe, what's your choice of shirt for tonight?
Man, I don't even know. I've just got some Under Armour t-shirt on. I don't wear anything special, do I?
Yeah, so I think we know who the best dresser would be here as well for tonight's podcast. So our penultimate question then, David, who's the best golfer at Glamorgan? This is always one which sparks debate.
I'd have to, he's a bit of a genius, really, because he doesn't practice and play that much. But Chris Cook, he could play off scratch if he really wanted to. Typical South African, just good at every sport he plays, except for football. He thinks he's good, but he's woeful at the best of the times. But yeah, he'd be the best. Rory Smith's up there. So it'd be a good joust between Rory, and Cookie. But I'd have to say Cookie.
Fair
enough. He's got it more he's got it more mentally, Cookie.
He'll thank you for that. That's always one which cricketers enjoy.
But he might not thank you for the football one, which kind of brings us on to the last one then, which is who is the best footballer? Again, you can say yourself.
You want to say yourself.
Sound arrogant, but it's got to be me. Yeah.
What position do you play?
So I play, centre mid.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. I was a striker as a kid.
Who did you compare to? Who did you play like in professional football terms?
I'd say as a striker, I'm a bit like Aguero.
Fair enough. Clinical then.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say same size, Aguero.
Yeah, fair enough. If you back yourself to be a good...
I wish I was Aguero.
Yeah, that'd be pretty mad. That would be pretty mad.
But yes, David, that does bring us to an end to today's teammate segment on the podcast. And it also brings us to an end to today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast itself. So before we go, David, do you just have any kind of closing words, anything to plug or promote, social media channels, for example?
No, I'd like to thank you guys for obviously giving me the opportunity to join your podcast. I think it's great what you guys are doing to give insights from different professional players around the country. So yeah, hats off to you boys. Keep doing what you're doing. And I look forward to hopefully a full season of county cricket and people can come back and start watching games again. I think it'd be great for people's mental health and also just getting out again and socialise and hopefully we're not too far away from that. But yeah, I'd like to say a massive thank you to you boys and look after yourself and take care.
Oh, that's
thank you,
David. Very, very
kind. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and let's hope we can, we as Lancs fans can see a minus 100 as a treat in the summer, but with the Lancs win at the same time. That'll be good.
There it is. The Lancs bias creeping in just towards the end of the podcast. But yes, David, from us two here at the County Cricket Podcast, we of course want to thank you for today. Thank you very much for coming on. We really appreciate you taking the time. And of course, for 2021, we wish you the very best of luck with Glamorgan and of course, heading into the future beyond that. But that does bring us to an end to today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. To all of the listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.